Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life.
Well, what a blessing it's been. I appreciate Sister playing that song. I love that song, Be Thou My Vision. She's just about hit all of my favorite songs this week. And it has been a great week for my wife and I. I'm thankful that my wife could come. A lot of times she doesn't get to go on meetings and such as that. But I wanted her to be with me. And she's enjoyed the trip. I just can't begin to thank everyone for your hospitality. And it was great, the basket in the hotel and accommodations. Thank you so much for each meal. You fed me well, and it's been just great to see what God is doing here. And Pastor, never lose your zeal. I'm so thankful for what God. I believe in all my heart. I believe this, that the best days are yet to come for Riverview Baptist Church, and just so many things I like. I have no intention tonight on trying to straighten anything out. Please don't ever think that, because God has got His hand on this place. I believe it, and on this preacher. And so Brother Bockhaus is wanting me to just kind of give some things that God has used, and to God be the glory for everything, right? Some things that maybe some foundational things that has worked in our ministry, and God blesses, and especially in the area of missions. And I'll be talking about some of these things. But it's just been good this week. It's been really good. If I've done anything or said anything that I shouldn't have, it certainly was done in ignorantly, like Paul said, and in unbelief, that's for sure, because God knows we wanted to be a blessing, and it's just been good talking to some of you folks, sharing Scripture and praying with you, and especially, Pastor, the fellowship has been sweet, has really been sweet, and I mean that. When your pastor left our church, a big hole was left in our church. And you have certain families that come, and they just are so busy and involved, and so influential, if you will, that it's hard to replace people that have that zeal and that fire for the Lord. And so, you have something very special here, I'm so grateful. And if this church, I'll say what Jim Fallure said in our pulpit at our missions conference a year or two ago. He said, if you ever give this pastor a hard time, I'm going to tell the pastor to call me. There's many churches that would love to have your pastor, is what Jim Fallure told me. And, it's unfortunate. And I don't know of any problems in this church. So I'm just telling you, Pastor, I hope you keep on keeping on and just finish. Just keep on finish. Paul said, I fought a good fight, and it is hard. I told the brothers at supper tonight, I said, we preach for free. We love to preach. Preach in the shower. We preach to the cows. We preach to whoever will listen. But sometimes dealing with ministry things, and, the people are ministry, and it's sometimes a people, things go on behind the scenes that you don't see. And pastors, they carry things with them, and they pray for people in the middle of the night, and things break their heart. And so it is very, very stressful at times. But God is faithful. I would challenge all of you church members to write this down. And I believe it's called The Fainting Fits of a Preacher by C.H. Spurgeon. And write that down. It's in his lectures to his students. You can Google it. lectures to his C.H. Spurgeon students. It's called Fainting Fits of a Preacher, I believe it is it, or something like that. Ministers Fainting Fits. And I would challenge you, please go read that. I try to read it once a year. I have my wife and family read it, and there's been many times I've passed it out to our whole church family. That really gives you an idea of behind the scenes what a pastor goes through a lot of times, and it'll help you to pray for your pastor more intelligently. And so I encourage you to do that. But it's been really good this week. Before I left, I went into the prayer closet, and I said, "Lord, not my will, thine be done." And we put out a little booklet for our missions conference. This is 2013. The theme was the love of souls. And it has a verse on the back, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." And it tells about faith promise in it. And I give a little challenge, and the missions directors give a little challenge in it. And it shows some of our missionaries, and it gives a history of our giving. And like I said, it started out in 1993. In fact, we celebrate our anniversary. The 27th of September was our first service, 1993, and went to Phoenix with just the Lord. And like your pastor said, when you have God, you have the majority. And we went there, no pulpit, no building, no pews, no property, no hymn books, no piano. But we had the calling of God, and He just began to work. In the first year, we took on one missionary in 1993. And as of this year, to God be the glory. I'm not bragging on us, but it'll go over. Our missions giving alone will go over $2 million this year. But you say, how did that happen? Just persistence, faithfulness. Just the second year, 7,000. The third year, 12,000. The next 13, 14, 18, 23, 30, 42. And then we got up into 2006 and we started giving to missions 102 and then 124, 127,000, 135,000, 140, 133, 131. I think this year it's going to be somewhere over 130,000. And you know what? You say, well, our little church could never do that. Hey, never underestimate what God can do.
Right.
A little boy had two fishes and five loaves, and he gave his lunch, and God blessed it, multiplied it. And friends, the best days are yet to come. And I just want to encourage you now. It amazes me. You know, almost $12,000 a month in missions, and that money goes right out to the mission field. And so, praise the Lord. Now, that's above your tithe. But now, tonight, I would just like to give you, I told you I got in my prayer closet, and before I came, Friday is a study day for me, and I got in the bedroom there and in the closet, and I said, "Lord, what would you have me to preach?" And so I had no really idea about Saturday, but the Lord just kind of share your heart about missions, and at the banquet, many of you were there, we just kind of gave the blessings of missions, the joy of blessings, and a few miracles that God did for our church. In Sunday school, we talked about be steadfast. And, you know, if you're not steadfast, you know, God blesses longevity. God blesses faithfulness. And it doesn't matter if it's in marriage or if it's in church attendance, your prayer life, your Bible reading, and especially your missions giving. You know, when you make that commitment to God, then listen, if you do your part, God will definitely do His part.
Right.
If you just trust Him. Maybe I can say a few things about that tonight. But Sunday morning, we preached on salvation, you know, and without being saved, you really won't have a heart to give to missions. And for sure, you won't get your sins forgiven. And Sunday p.m., the fear of the Lord. And I believe that's where it starts. Believers, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, you're not going to really have a heart for missions unless you fear Him, unless you respect Him. And then, what next? Monday, we talked about remembering Jesus. And if you really don't have a love for Jesus, if you think about Jesus, He was a giver. And to me, you know, and I thank God for everything He's done, every single thing. But if I could pick one sermon that blessed my heart especially, it was Monday. And remembering Jesus, we remembered His blood, remembered His body, but with the testimonies. If you weren't here, you missed a great blessing Monday. Some of the testimonies, even from the children and Clay, it was moving, in my opinion. And then Tuesday, we had the privilege of going to the nursing home. We preached on how to get to heaven, and praise the Lord. It's a day that heaven was near our heart because my wife's sister passed away, her older sister, on Tuesday. My mom and dad are in assisted living. My dad's got one leg. My mom's got Alzheimer's. My mom recently almost died and spent, I think it was 35 days in the hospital. I spent the night with my mom, 33 days, all night long in the hospital. And it was one of the most torturous. She's 86, and she could have not a drop of water. She had a blockage, and they would not give her water. And of course, she had IVs and stuff such as that. But that was one of the hardest things I've ever gone through in my life. I'll tell you, when your mom is begging you for a drop of water and you can't give it to her, that was tough. And so we thought we were going to say goodbye to her. Well, say, see you later, and go, because she's saved and she knows Christ. But, you know, heaven's sweet. And heaven is near, and so I thank the Lord. And then compassion on Tuesday. And then we also talk practically about missions and lessons. Please get the CD if you weren't here last night. And it'll kind of walk you through some of the principles as well. And then tonight, last of all, I want to just share my heart, maybe. I'm not an evangelist. I'm a pastor, that's for sure. But, you know, I just want to give you a little heart-to-heart tonight, maybe like a fireside chat, if you will, on things kind of to go down my brother's here wishes and kind of his heart, some things that has worked for Western Hills. I hope you pull out a pen because they'll work for you. They're biblical. And so, things that have worked for Western Hills, you know, and church work, some things I've learned, lessons, if you will. But I want to say it's been a privilege and a blessing, and I want to thank every one of you for your love and your prayers and also bringing us here to be a blessing. I heard the rain, you know, rain is kind of a symbol in the Bible of, if you will, of blessings, I believe, and Ezekiel says there shall be showers of blessings. And so when I heard the rain, I said, Lord, you're just smiling on Riverview Baptist Church. But it's been a great privilege, and I want to thank you. And if you've got one victory this week, it's been worth it all. Amen. And we give God the glory. Amen. So I'm going to try to obey the Lord again and be a help. And so, where do we start? Why don't we start with the Word and then start with prayer? So let's go right here first, and then I'm going to give you my life's verse. But let's go first of all to Acts chapter 20, and let's stand if you're able. I'd appreciate that. Amen. In Acts chapter 20, Paul's pouring his heart out as he's getting ready to leave, and he loved this church. He said, be careful of the grievous wolves that enter in among you. Paul talks about the joy of serving him. He says, I don't have any blood on my hands. He said, I've preached to you the whole council. He talks about the church. I just can't hardly read any of this without reading. I wasn't planning on reading this, but look at this in verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Yes. Tell me the Lord doesn't love the church.
Amen.
He purchased it with his own blood. But look at verse 35, please. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let's pray. Father, it's so wonderful and it's so true that we get the blessing when we get rid of pride and self and flesh and we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And so tonight, Father, just a few things that you have used in my own life, your church's life at Western Hills Baptist. And Lord, may they be a blessing to this dear congregation. Thank you for this church, every single person. And thank you for this pastor and his family. They have been such a blessing to me. Lord, I thank you for using them in the privilege. And we love you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now go over to Galatians, and I do, believe it or not, I do preach expositionally, verse by verse, but here this week I have tried with the Lord's help just to nail down a thought or two, and so I may be a little bit all over the place tonight. That's okay. I'm getting old, so I'm getting older, but just bear with me and forgive me. I've kind of entitled this Bits and Pieces, Ingredients for Success. But look at my life's verse here. It's found in Galatians 6, 9, but we'll read verse 7, 8, and 9. Galatians 6, verse 7. When you have it, say amen, church. Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. But if we get weary and quit, you're going to faint. But if you hang in there and you're steadfast, you keep your eyes on Jesus, and you rely upon His strength and His provision. And let us not be weary in well-doing. If you keep the joy, I love the joy of the Lord in this place, the singing, even the little ones back there. That was a blessing to me. Amen. For in due season, and I don't know when that is, God does, due season, we shall reap if we faint not. I may never be back to Green Bay. I hope I can. In fact, next time, Pastor, if you invite me back ever again, I'd like to see snow. I would like to see that. That's a rarity in Phoenix, Arizona. But maybe we could do some sledding, Zebedee, or something. I'd love that. Praise the Lord. But we're going to reap what we sow. And maybe some of these things, these tidbits tonight will help you. And hopefully by the end of it, we'll bring it around. You know, kind of like if you've ever seen Sheffy, the movie Sheffy, have you ever showed it? How many of you seen the movie Sheffy? Raise your hand. You remember when he was trying to propose to Eliza? Is that her name, Eliza? And they fell in love and he couldn't get the words out. Well, what are you trying to say, Brother Sheffy? Well, yes. And she just went ahead and pretty much proposed. And, well, it's about time. You sure have a way of beating around the cow shed or something like that, the mulberry patch. You know what? I kind of feel like that this week. I've kind of gone around the cow shed or kind of go around the mulberry patch, but I hope we'll land up at the right place and God will work. I believe God's going to do something this year for missions. I really do. Okay, ingredients for success. Where do we start? Well, you're going to reap what you sow. And that means this preacher right here is going to reap what he sows. Preaching to myself. I had a phone call from a good man that was in our church. He moved to Dakotas. Big, young, strapping, handsome man. And I led him to Christ in my office. He had a lady that was madly in love with him. And they had been seeing each other and living in sin at the time when I first met them. And she got saved. I believe she got saved too. So I never will forget both of them getting saved in the office. And it didn't work out between them. I kind of wished that it would have. Sometimes it all don't turn out like your pastor and his wife. But anyway, they broke up. In fact, I told them to break up. They were not living right. But they didn't want to marry each other, so he moved to Dakota. And I guess he found a job there. Be careful. Don't let the world, the flesh, or the devil, or money, or anything else take you out of the will of God.
That's right.
Don't do that. That you could write that down as an ingredient for success. But he called me and he was weeping. I mean, he was bigger than your pastor, taller and just stout young man. He was weeping like a baby. And it touched my heart. He had gotten married and his wife was unfaithful. And that conversation, after about an hour on the phone, those are some of the things that you don't see that your pastor does. About an hour on the phone and prayer. It led me to this message. And I'll just say real quickly, I shouldn't be here very long on this, but I want to say, God's way is for marriage to stick together.
Right.
Now, I have a lot of precious divorced people in my church, and some of them are some of the most spiritual people I know. And some of my dear friends, you cannot change the past. Amen. I'm not here to beat you up or to throw guilt on you. I'm not here to do that. That's not my job. But I do know this. Like Paul said, you can forget those things which are behind and press on. Amen. And those sins, if we come to Christ, they're forgiven and under the blood of Jesus Christ. And God can restore joy. Unspeakable. He's not done with you. But I preached this to our church right after that phone call. And I just want you to realize quickly that marriage is God's will. And for you to stay married is God's will. The best spouse that you could ever be biblically is the one you got right now. Amen. That's right. But number one, realize that it is God's will for you. And I could give you the verses, but I'm not going to take time. There's verses. What God joined together, let not man put asunder. Number two, stay in church. Stay in church no matter what it takes. You need this church. Be a churchaholic.
Amen.
Praise God. And then here's something else. Number three, the husband lead. The husband needs to understand his role. And if you have a lost spouse, you need to apply 1 Peter chapter 3. You need to have a holy life and make them thirsty.
Amen.
And they will get saved if you live like you should live according to 1 Peter chapter 3 if you have the testimony of Jesus. If you're here, you missed my wife's testimony. I won't get into that, but she got saved later in life. She had a head knowledge, but didn't have a heart knowledge. But she got it. She got it settled. Praise the Lord. Now, stay in church. Husband lead. Number three. Number four. Be like Jesus. Be forgiving. Be forgiving. Hey, Christ has forgave you. Be forgiving. Practice forgiveness. I can tell you, after 24 years of pastoring, I can tell you, families that have made it because they lived forgiveness. And then others who have harbored bitterness and it destroyed them on the inside.
Yes,
and so Be forgiving. Be like Jesus. Be forgiving. Number five, be proactive. Fight with all the spiritual weapons. I like, Pastor, you said you're going to memorize Ephesians, especially Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. And be proactive. Fight the spiritual weapon. One of the spiritual weapons we have is prayer. Pray all through the day. At work, pray. Can your marriage change? Yes. It can be rekindled. It can be reworked. It can be restored. It can be revived. It can be rebooted. It can be refreshed. It can be renovated, but not redefined. Amen? Marriage is for one man, one woman. Praise God. Now, number six, invest in your marriage. You're going to reap what you sow, so sow love. Number seven, live a holy life. Live a holy life and get God's favor and help and blessings back on your life. Just a side note, stop blaming everyone else for your circumstances. Stay humble and broken. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit later. One of the ingredients for success, everybody needs to hear this. You need to use this altar. Everybody that comes to the altar at Western Hills Baptist Church, I never have problems with them. Amen. And some of you people that have physical problems, hey, you come up here anyway. Even if you can't get down on your knees, I have several in our church that come up and they just come up to the altar and they pray like this, or they'll come up here and gather all around. You know what? We don't judge them. We don't know what they're praying for. But I tell you, there's something special about that altar. I'll tell you that. Hey, great things happen at the altar. People surrender to the ministry at the altar. Hey, praise God. People get married at the altar. There's miracles of prayer being answered at the altar. And I'm telling you, there's something special about this old-fashioned altar. Now, it's not mystical, but God used the altar. You should do a study in the Word of God about the altar. It was a special place. Humble yourself, broken at the altar. There's a balm in Gilead. After I told this man, this is actually what I told this young man in Dakota. He just started bawling. And this is what he said to me. You're right, Pastor. I know I need to do these things. You see, he got so tied up in work. He got out of church. He didn't lead his wife. He wasn't having his walk with the Lord in his prayer time. And she left him. Ask God for wisdom. Agree with God and obey Him. Seek others. Seek others. Oh, this is good. Seek others who are not gossipers.
Amen.
And social media lights to pray with you. Seek others. Your pastor's wife. Your pastor. Realize God is at work in your own life. You can't see the forest for the trees. That's all I'm going to say about that. Let me get on to some other things. So I would just put that under the heading, keep your home sweet. Some things at work. And our churches will never be stronger than our family units.
That's right.
And we need strong family units. Wouldn't it be great? You don't know him. I have one deacon. His name's Wade English. His first wife passed away in her 30s and her baby at the same time. Went up to the hospital at 2 in the morning. And Brother Wade's up there. His wife is in the hospital room, in the bed. She's gone to heaven. We saw her saved in our church.
Amen.
Brother Wade, who was going to commit suicide, but he came to our church on an Easter Sunday,
yes,
years before, heard an old-fashioned message on John 3:16, and he got saved and he didn't take his life. He went off to Bible college. He's my deacon right now. His first wife was dead in the bed, 2 in the morning, Good Samaritan Hospital, and Wade was holding his little baby dead. And I came into that room. It was like the holies of holies. It was so thick in there with the presence of God. I couldn't even talk. I looked over at him, tears running down his face. And he looked up at me, holding his baby. Wife passed away. And he said, "Pastor, God is still good." My deacon. He's a blessing. Now he's remarried a woman. His childhood sweet, his first love that he worked with at Kentucky Fried Chicken when he was 18. He just so happened to move right next door to her and he didn't know it. God brought them together. They've had other children. Now they have 7 children. Faithful in church. You have a family walk through that door like my deacon and his wife and 7 kids. It would instantly boost any church, let me tell you. You say, can that happen? It sure can. Now, we've lost some big families and God's given families. But I'm just saying, stay at it and pray. Some things that work. Ingredients for success. Now, I'm going to give you some things. Please don't get mad at me. I'm fixing to leave. You know, you've heard evangelists say that. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I would love this man. I love this church. And if you apply these principles, and I probably could possibly be preaching to the choir tonight, but I know they work. I know your pastor and his wife practice it. My wife and I practice it. I've been doing it for many years. But the first thing you want to do in your finances, you establish the tithe.
Yes.
Establish, it's holy. You know, in most churches, you probably have a better percentage here. I know we do in our church, but most churches, only 10% of the church tithe faithfully on the gross. The Bible says the tithe is the Lord. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. You know, there's always something to be done in a church. There's never enough money. There's always another project, another this to buy or another that to buy. That's in every church. But a church that tithes, and bring your tithes, faithful, it works. And offerings too. Offerings, it talks about offerings in the Bible. Bring in your offerings, give an offering unto the Lord. And I believe that's where the missions fits in. And give to missions.
Yes.
Give to missions. You know, if everybody would do their part, it's an equality. We preached these verses last night. But I believe if you have 100% participation this coming year, you will have a successful missions conference. And you will have the ability to take on more missionaries. Children can do something by faith. Everybody can do something by faith. The reason God has blessed our church more than anything, I think, is because of our missions program. And so you really need, like the pastor said, to sincerely be praying, God, what would you have me to do? Don't be afraid if he says 100 a week. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid if he says 50 a week. You know, God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. If he tells you 25 a week, that's, if you support a missionary at 100 a month, that's one missionary you support. In fact, I think everybody can do something. And he blesses that. He's always blessed us, hasn't he, honey? He's increased our faith for over 35 years. And I'm here to say God can do the same for you.
Amen.
If you'll just trust him in the area of missions. That's an ingredient that God has used to help us to be successful. The tithe and missions. And of course, these are given. I'm not teaching anything new or telling you anything new. Your pastor's probably doing a lot of these things already, probably most of them, maybe all of them. I don't know. I'm just telling you what's worked for us. And this is a given, but Jesus said, lift me up. If I be lifted up, what did he say? I'll draw all men. And you know, What did Brother Gibbs say? My only job is to know that God can do His job. And this is His church. But when people come through those doors, they need to hear about Jesus, don't they? The great Savior. He's so loving and so forgiving. So lift up Jesus, that's one. Hold to the doctrines, and I appreciate the way your pastor holds to the doctrines of the Bible, and he teaches the Bible and preaches the Bible, and he loves that. But hold to the doctrine, missions, tithing, things like that, getting more people involved. I had the privilege, I don't know who did it, but after supper tonight, I went up to the upper room with Jesus up there. And I went up those steps. And I said, I'm going to try to use the restroom. I went in the restroom. It was so sparkling clean. The toilet was clean. And this pastor, I still clean toilets. I probably need to get home and clean some toilets. But you know, everybody can do something.
Right.
Serve God. Find something to do and do it. You see a little piece of paper on the floor, don't wait till your pastor does it. Pick it up yourself. Have some initiative. Be proactive. Amen.
Amen.
Help out. It's God's house.
Yes.
But I went up there, and you know what? I used that restroom, and I appreciate whoever cleaned that restroom. But take care of God's house. Respect God's house. And more people involved in doing something. So I can't do much. You can clean a toilet. You can pick up a piece of paper. These are things that'll help this church. Okay, special projects. We just finished for a year collecting money for a parking lot. God blessed. And we were able to pave our parking lot. An expensive endeavor. Took a year. God did it. You can have, and I'm sure you do some of these things. Special projects are good. A Christmas offering. And you can... you can do whatever you want to with it. You know, what the pastor's vision is, but you want to fix this or fix that or give it away or whatever. Here's something that's really works. Special prayer times.
Amen.
Special prayer times. We have what's called a 24-hour prayer chain. Maybe you've done some of this. People sign up and they'll pray an hour. We'll have come into the church and we'll have a station over here. And it may have a piece of paper and it'll say, repent of all your sins. Another one over here says, just thanksgiving to God. Just pray at this. Just thank God just for all your blessing. Count your blessing. And we go over there and have one ask for things. And our people like it. And you have people signed up around the clock. And you can do this. Special prayer times. I have a 7:30 in the morning on Sunday prayer time with just one man that I come in with at 7:30. Maybe you'd like to pray with your pastor at a certain time. And then now we've been coming in, that's Sunday morning, 7:30. And then our Sunday school starts at 9. And then Saturday night, we've been going in around 6. And I don't tell everybody they have to go, but sometimes we ask for all the men to come in at 6, or whoever wants to come in at 6 p.m., and we pray. And I've seen great blessings in those special times of prayer.
Yeah.
Your pastor, I preached a little bit about this the other day, but I want you to know from my heart, I can tell you the truth before God. He hears my heart right now. God hears my heart. He never said anything about what I'm fixing to say. But I'm telling you things, reasons why God has blessed Western Hills Baptist Church. And here's another one. Taking care of your pastor, remembering the pastor. I believe that. I showed you the verses. Esteem him highly in love for the work's sake. It was good to see brother up here with his arm around the pastor praying, and others that came and gave to the pastor. And I know that came in handy. Most of you, he'll never be a rich man. He gives things away more than you know. And there's always a need with three children. For all you that do help him, I just say, praise the Lord for you.
Amen.
You're going to reap it. You've sowed helping your pastor. You're going to reap it one day. Every soul that's saved through this ministry. Remember his birthday. And I'll tell you what our church does. I'm just going to be transparent. And you do it however you want to, Pastor, because we're independent and you're the overseer. I'm just telling you a few things that on my birthday, they always give me a gift, and my wife, but it's not a really big gift. Now, those who of you are whoever in leadership, you need to be proactive in this. You need to take the bulls by the horn. Somebody needs to do it. I pastored for many years where nobody even did it. When we started our church, I was only getting $25 a week. And I said, what about a raise? And we went to 50. And one man shot my $50 a week raise down. He shot it down. Let me tell you, that's of the devil. But you remember his birthday and sister's birthday. The biggest thing with a small gift, is what they do for me. Now, the biggest time that our church honors my wife and I, the biggest gift of the year, is our church anniversary. And there ought to be some prayer and planning put into that. Listen, God will bless the church that gives the mission and takes care of this pastor. I know it's hard for him to hear it. I'd be embarrassed too if I was sitting where he sat. But you know, somebody needs to say it. When the church anniversary comes up, there needs to be some, initiative? And some proactive stuff to be a blessing to your pastor who's given his life for this ministry. Wedding anniversary, they do a little something. Maybe a gift card or something like that. But the church anniversary is big. And for Christmas, they don't do a whole lot because they've already done so much. And then the kids, it's kind of like individual on the kids. But if you see their kids lacking and needing something, sometimes our people come up when our kids were little, like here's Miss Leah, they'd come up and they'd put a little money in their hand or give them a gift card or they would, you know, give them a gift card to go out to eat or something. Or if they saw the kids needed a pair of shoes or something, they would just take that upon themselves. Individuals would do that. My kids are grown. I've got 5 grandchildren. My daughter's 34, my son's 32. But I still have a little old lady in our church that on their birthdays gives them a $10 or $15 gift card to go out to eat. But those aren't things that are really... Now, if your pastor wants to do something special for his kids or the deacon, hey, praise God. But I'm here to tell you with all my heart, my wife can attest, you take care of your pastor financially. One of the hardest times in our church, we were struggling. And the finances weren't that good. And I went to a conference out in California, and Larry Brown, pastor for many years, I believe it was in Iowa, little feist dog, man, I tell you, that guy is a fiery preacher. And it was kind of when the economy took a dip, gas prices were way up some years back, not a whole lot of years, but you know how the economy, it was just really bad. And they had a pastor's conference. He said, you pastors, and I had a staff person there with me. He said, I'll tell you how to help your church. It's helped me. It's always been a blessing to our church. And what he said, this is what Larry Brown said, and he pastored a church bigger than I've ever had. He said, you double your pastor's salary and take on more missionaries immediately. It's what Harold Seitler used to say. The principle is you take care of the man of God and you take care of the Great Commission like God commands us to do, and God will pour out His blessings. Now, we went back, and we'd be afraid to death because I was getting paid good then. Getting paid real good. But, I mean, we Brother George, we didn't even have that much faith to double the pastor's salary. But we knew we needed to do something. Take that old man's advice. And you know what? The church did give the pastor a raise. How? They didn't have the money to do it. There was no money there. They did it through prayer and faith and out of a sincere, joyful heart to the Lord, they gave me a raise. So you didn't even need it. But they wanted to be a blessing. They wanted to honor God's man. You know what? My wife and I tithed on it first, and we probably just stepped up our missions offering. But I'm here to tell you, we took on new missionaries, and God blessed that step of faith. Now, he never said to tell you that. He never mentioned. He hadn't been belly griping or anything. But I know your preacher, and I know it would be a blessing to him. So take care of him. Be proactive in that. Don't say, well, somebody else is going to remember his anniversary or his birthday. No. Somebody help him. Now, on this is huge. Work on people. Invite people. You have a circle of influence. Bring your friends. You know what he's going to do? He's going to preach the gospel. They're going to get saved. They're going to be sitting in these pews. That's what happens. And so do that. That will be a great blessing. And you can pass out tracts. You can set a goal. I'm going to pass out one tract a day. Could not everybody pass out a tract? I don't care where you are, who you are. I mean, this little lady, Chris, is that her name, in the wheelchair? She goes out. She couldn't come to one of the services, so she went out soul winning, passing out tracts. Isn't that true, ladies? She went passing out tracts. I mean, if she can do it, can all of us do it? If you passed out one track and you did it all year long, that's 365 tracks. I'm telling you, these things work.
Yes, sir.
And so, remember these things. Set some spiritual goals. I don't know how many we're up to. I'm almost done. I'm just about done. Set some spiritual goals. Bible reading. And your pastor's helping you with that. And prayer, and be faithful to church attendance. Set some family goals. It was good to hear at supper tonight, we're going to start trying to memorize Ephesians. What is your goals in that area? Maybe your devotional life, fellowship in the Lord, projects. Pastors use this phrase. I've caught him using this phrase this week over and over. Set things in order. Do things decently and in order. Projects. And let pastor lead that. Let him lead it. He's the overseer. None of you are going to give an account for this church, but this man sitting up here on the platform was going to give an account to God one day. And so when he has a vision or has something, you do what you can and pray for him and always have a good spirit and an attitude. And do your part, and God will help you to reap. He says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give into your bosoms. You cannot outgive God.
Right.
These are some things that work. Pray the money in. Well, I've got a project. You don't have any money. Pray it in.
Amen.
Ask God to bless. Ask God to give wisdom and prudence and understanding and knowledge, and God has all of that.
Yes.
Set it in order. And I'll say finally, as far as the missionaries go, if you do your part and if you obey God in this missions conference, when they pass out that card, it is God's will for you to give to missions. It's God's will for me to give to missions, your pastor to give to missions. But if everybody as a team in unity will mark down there, here's the secret to success. What God lays on your heart to give. Not balancing it out in your checkbook. That's not faith. But you listen to that still small voice. And you pray about it aright. And get rid of your own will. Not my will, Lord, but thine be done.
Yes.
And you pray about it. And you use these altars.
Yes.
Use these altars. Everybody in this room has burdens. Everybody in this room has needs. Get a hold of the horns of the altar.
Yes.
and ask God. And I tell you, God will bless you. And He'll help you. But these secrets to success, these little ingredients of doing your part, little as much when God is in it. That little boy with that lunch, he did what he could. He gave what he could. And God took it and broke it and blessed it. These are just some things, some ingredients. Jesus, the doctrine, missions, giving to missionaries. Love, hey, when your missionaries come by here, you love on them. Amen. Pray for them. And I believe you're going to have more missionaries this coming year as a result of your obedience to the Lord. And God sees that, and you're going to reap the blessings. One day, souls here and souls there. When you get to heaven, they'll say thank you for giving to the Lord. It's going to be a great reunion day up there because you gave to the Lord. Making a difference right here in this place. I don't know. I know what I was going to say now. I don't know what all God has in store, but when your missionaries come, you let this pastor pick them. You let him. He brings them in. He interviews them. You let him be led of the Lord. And when one resigns, everybody don't need to be voting on it. Sam Davison, he pastored over 1,600 church and had probably $1 million of missions money a year, that church. And guess what? He didn't go to his deacons and he didn't go to his church and say, oh, so-and-so resigned. It wasn't none of their business that their marriage didn't make it. But the pastor had that overseership to lead, bringing the missionaries in. I don't tell our church when a couple doesn't make it on the mission field. It breaks my heart. And you know what else? They come in and God leads in that area and the church rejoices and there's no strife over that. You let the pastor lead, whatever it might be, building project, this, that, things to come. He'll give an account one day. And He wants to do it right. And He wants to do it according to the Bible. These are things, if you'll heed by these things. But when that card comes around, church, you be in prayer. Don't be afraid to step out by faith. I'll just tell you what, and I don't have a lot of money. I'm telling you right now, not a lot in my bank. I don't have retirement. I don't have, what do you call those, IRAs and all that. Not a lot of money in my savings at all. But God takes care of my every need. He's never failed me. I have a nice house, a new house. I have nice cars. Our bills are paid. And many years ago, our missions went well over our tithe. You say, why? Just simple steps of faith. I could tell you, just to encourage you right now, our missions is $730 every week. It's what my wife and I give. To God be the glory. Did it start out that way? No. Started out $5 a week, and then 15 and 10, and then 20 and 25, maybe 40, then 50. We weren't even married. And this girl, she was given the missions. I was given the missions. My dad, already a godly man, had already taught us to tithe. God's taking care of us. We're not laying up treasures on this earth. We're laying up treasures in heaven. God owns everything. He owns this. Every time we've increased our missions, God has increased and provided our supply. Every single time. He's faithful. Some people, they can't get over the first step, and that's tithing.
Sure.
It's not yours.
Right.
And then after you establish the tithe, then just step out in faith. I'm going to give something. I'm going to mark something down. And I promise you, I'll make a promise before God right now. You write down where you're at, take good notes, good accounting measures. I'm here. I have this debt. And I'm going to start giving to missions by faith, and I have nothing to give. But this is what God's told me to do, and you be faithful. Now, God wants you to work. Now, God doesn't want you to drive off the Grand Canyon, just be foolish. Right? And He will cause you to be a good steward. And He'll bless your life. There's a guy, I have to tell you real quick, and I'm done. I promise. Larry Finley. Larry and Janet Finley. They're looking for a church. He met with me. He says, I love you, church. He said, but there's a problem. And I met him. I was going to take him to lunch. Hopped in the truck. Where is it? Walmart. He said, I love the church. I'd like to join the church, but I can't join the church. I said, why is that, Larry? He said, I smoke. Are you saved? Yes, sir. I got saved back there. Have you been baptized? Yes, I've been scripturally baptized in a Baptist church. He said, but I smoke. I got over the habit. Well, I said, God didn't make a smokestack on your head. He don't want you to smoke, but, you know, you can be a member of our church. Okay. Only two qualifications, saved and scriptural baptism. Now, he came to our church. It wasn't long after that he quit smoking. Now he's the head of our ushers. Wears a suit. Comes to Sunday school. Church. Works a job. But he said, Pastor, I got another problem. My finances are all messed up. What should I do? He's coming to me. I didn't solicit this. I said, are you sure you want to know? He said, yeah, Pastor, I got this credit card bill, I got all these bills, and I'm working a job, been on the job 15 years, seemed like I'm never getting ahead. What do I do, Pastor? I said, well, are you sure you want to hear it? Advice not sought after is seldom heeded. Have you heard that? I said, here it is. You need to start tithing.
Sure.
And you need to start giving something to missions, whatever God lays on your heart. So I got all this debt, Pastor. I said, well, you probably ought to put a little more tithe in. That's what you should do. I told him that. That's the gospel truth. The man started tithing. He started even giving more. And you know what happened to Larry Finley? I'm here to tell you, he tithed his way out of that hole.
Amen.
And now he never misses. And now miraculous things are starting to happen. And he's got enough to take a vacation. His bills are paid. He gives to missions. God blessed him with a new car. I'm not preaching a prosperity theology. I'm just telling you the principles in the Word of God work. Larry Finley, a faithful testimony and example. And he's happy in Jesus because he's obeying God. The blessing. Just a common man. Works at Kroger's warehouse, third shift. Comes to church on Sunday morning for Sunday school after working all night Saturday, batting his eyes. I say, God bless him. He's been up all night long, and he's there. It's all I have. I don't know what helped tonight, but I've obeyed God. I'm looking forward to getting a phone call. And more important than the mount, I think, is this. Is that every boy, you young people right here, these two boys up here, God wants you to give to missions. And even if you don't have a job, you pray. Say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And He'll help you. And He'll lay an amount on your heart. It may only be 10 cents. It may be a dollar. And God will provide. for that. And if you give it, that money will go. I know your pastor, he's an honest man. He will give it to missions. And that will be fruit to your account. These are some things that we practice over 24 years, and God has richly, faithfully blessed. And I know He can bless you in that. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.